I want to read to you this morning from John, the 20th chapter, beginning with verse 19. Many of you have been in the church, you probably knew, if you knew anything, and what we call this Sunday in the church really is Low Sunday. But our brothers and sisters from up in Virginia have kind of increased our numbers this morning, so we're glad you guys are here. So last night was the prom, and there might be some folks worn out from working yesterday. I don't know, anybody here from the prom? Who? Tommy. He was up all night. Some of our young people used to come in their prom dresses, but I guess they're probably sleeping right now, I'm sure. So a lot happening. Hear the word of the Lord from John, the 20th chapter, verse 19. And many of you probably know what I'm going to read today. We'll see. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." I want you to think about that setting. I want you to think about those words and what was happening. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And so he said to them, "Prove it." No, that's not what he said. He said, "Unless I see in his hands his print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Same thing, right? And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand there and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Let us pray. Lord, may the seeds of your word that are planted in so many ways, as they're scattered out among us in this time of worship, but also across the world today, Lord, may it land firm in the hearts and souls of all those who hear it, and may it grow to maturity so that as faithful believers and followers, we will live for you each day. May it also be planted in the souls and hearts of unbelievers so they might come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, whenever it comes time to make any kind of decision sometimes, or whenever we feel a challenge to do something, one of the things that I always say sometimes, "Well, I don't really have peace about that." What do I mean when I say that? Well, I'm looking for some kind of peace in this situation or that situation. Well, what do I mean by that? I'm looking for something to calm my nerves. That's not necessarily it sometimes. We do find ourselves in those situations. I'm looking for somebody to tell me this is what you need to do, and then you do it, and that might bring some peace. But what do we mean by, "I need some peace about that"? Jesus, when he's meeting with his disciples on this week after the resurrection, he brings that word of peace to them. As they're gathered there in that upper room, Thomas wants proof that Jesus has been raised from the dead. He wants proof. Not any different than you or me. When we read or hear or someone tells us something that is hard to believe and hard to comprehend and difficult to understand. Not only does Thomas need to be reassured of that Jesus had been raised from the dead, but also the disciples. Remember, when Mary first went to the tomb and came back, they didn't believe her either. Some of them ran there to find out for themselves. It wasn't until Jesus had appeared to them and they had seen them, and Thomas wasn't there. But can we blame Thomas for his unbelief? You know, as he was with Jesus, things had been going well. It had just been a week before, during Palm Sunday, when they had this triumphal parade. Everything seemed to be on top of the world. The people were giving their coats and they were going with palm branches and doing all kinds of things to show Jesus how much they loved him and how glad that he had come. Thomas and the other disciples found themselves in an entourage of Jesus, who was a superstar. And we've seen that on TV, right? These superstars that go from place, and there's always a group of folks around them, you know, moving from one place to the other. I'm sure some of them loved him, but some of them were probably in it for what they could get out of it, right? We don't know that for sure. But after that wonderful and powerful time, the world collapsed around them. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like the world has collapsed around you? Maybe you feel that way this morning. That whatever burden or whatever difficulty or whatever circumstance or whatever news that you receive, you just feel like, man, what happened? Yesterday, everything seemed to be so positive. I mean, we were doing this and we were doing that. And now, all of a sudden, things have changed. Well, that's the way life is, isn't it? Things can change in a hurry. The world that Thomas and the disciples knew around Jesus had collapsed. They arrested Jesus, stuck him on a cross, and scared the disciples out of their minds. They were in that upper room thinking that they were going to be the next folks on the hit list. I don't think any of us in here have ever been in those circumstances. Have you ever felt like you've been on the hit list? Somebody's taking your life. That's hard for us. It's hard for us to comprehend that. We read about people being on hit lists all the time. Folks accuse the government of it, putting folks on hit lists. We don't know. So, you know, Thomas, with the world collapsing around him and everything taking place, is not in any mood to hear about some guy being raised from the dead and returning and appearing before people. Unless, as I was telling the children earlier, I got to see it to believe it. And we say that too, don't we? Oh, no, I don't believe that. No. I got to see it first. So Thomas, then, not willing to take the evidence that the disciples had given him and believe that, was saying, you know, I'm not going to get swept up in all this hype about a person being raised from the dead. Yes, he was a superstar. Yes, he did teaching and healing, but this is just difficult to understand and believe. How can that be? And it's in the midst of his heart and his soul and spirit being stirred beyond belief, and the disciples in that upper room thinking that they were going to be the next ones to be put on the cross. It is in those difficult circumstances that behind locked doors, the scriptures say, behind closed minds. Thomas's mind was closed. He didn't believe. Behind closed spirits, deep within the souls of those disciples, that Jesus comes. Isn't that powerful? Right through the closed doors that the scriptures tell us. Right into their living room, if you want to call it, their upper room. Staring them right in the face. These are those who had turned their back on him. Committed the ultimate sin. After saying they would be faithful to someone and love someone, then when the going got tough, the tough got going, but in a different direction. Right in the midst of that, here's Jesus. Why, one doesn't even believe it. There's probably some others there too. So it's in those locked hearts and souls and spirit that Jesus comes. Remember, remember the circumstances. It was difficult at best, tragic. And Jesus comes and appears before them and says, "Peace be with you." Three times in this passage, he says, "Peace be with you." They needed to hear that. Wouldn't you? Whoa, what a message. A three-word sermon. Peace be with you. And it's Jesus saying it. Jesus had heard what Thomas said in his unbelief. Unless I put my finger in his side, touch the wounds on his hands, I will not believe. Jesus says, "Here I am." Not only the spirit and power of God was in that room, but the physical presence of Jesus Christ was there, staring them right in the face. They needed to hear some peace, because not only did they struggle with unbelief, but they had abandoned their superstar, their Lord and teacher, in the most difficult of circumstances. They had abandoned him. We do that too, don't we? We abandon Jesus a lot of times. We abandon him. We don't live up to our baptismal vows. We don't live out the body and blood of Christ broken for you. How often do we break ourselves for others? We've abandoned Jesus in so many ways. And if you haven't, you know somebody that has. We know of preachers that do it, famous preachers that do it. We know of politicians that claim one thing, do something else. We know of church members that do it. Have you ever abandoned Jesus? I have. And I feel terrible. I feel so guilty inside. And it's like, I need this peace to come over me. You know, when I feel like I've abandoned Jesus, my heart rate speeds up. My face gets flushed. My palms get sweaty. And it's not till I go to the Word of God and I hear those words of Jesus coming to me. I forgive you, Jesus said to his disciples. If you forgive the sins of any, they will be forgiven. Why could they do that? Because he had forgiven them of their sins. Brothers and sisters in Christ, true peace only comes when we embrace the assurance of God's power and love in our lives, no matter what the circumstances. True peace comes when we rest in that assurance. That same assurance that he gave to those disciples there, he gives to you and me. Peace be with you too, because of what happened on that cross. The way in which he forgave the disciples, he forgives us in the same way. You know, a lot of times when people abandon Jesus, they'll abandon everybody else. You know what disciples did in the upper room? Yeah, oh yeah. We kind of crawl into our holes and say, I don't want to think about it. Can't believe I did that. Something so stupid. Why did I say that? But God knows, doesn't he? God knows our hearts and our spirit and our souls. And it's in those moments with the love that Jesus has given to us and the Holy Spirit we can ask forgiveness and repent. And it's only then that we will have that true peace that passes all understanding. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, peace be with you, and then breathed on them the Holy Spirit? We cannot firmly live into that peace and presence until we recognize God's power and Spirit working in our lives. What is your soul like this morning? What is your spirit like this morning? You feel like the world has collapsed around you? Do you need a refreshing of God's Spirit and presence in your life? Maybe you're an unbeliever here this morning and you don't believe. Is your heart and mind locked out of what God has in store for you and for me this morning? If it is, then just remember that Jesus is there. He's staring you right in the face, staring into your eyes, looking into your heart and your soul. He says, I've come to give you peace. Will you receive it? Will you embrace it? Will you live it? Do you know that peace that passes understanding this morning? Do you know it? You can know it. Let us pray. Lord, we know that true peace within only comes when you're at the very center of our soul and spirit and mind. And Lord, when we fail, we know that you are still there to grant us that forgiveness and presence that we need. Oh God, we lift up our soul and our mind and our spirit to you this morning. We lift up our whole being. May your peace constantly remind, renew, and refresh us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.